There you go, that is Erasure, and that is Boy, and the voice, of course, of Andy Bell, who hopefully is on the other end of the line. Are you there, Andy?
Hello there, hi.
How are you, my friend?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm sorry I missed you, or the radio the other day.
that's fine. I know you are such a busy man. I mean, last year, just looking at last year, you had such a busy year. You had studio albums, you had new live albums, and I think you're in the studio again fairly soon, aren't you, with a new Erasure album?
Well, not soon. I shouldn't say no. I've got a few shows on after we finish this tour. Theatre piece, and it's called Let's Rock. It's kind of like a retro festival.
Okay.
And then I've got three shows in the US, so I'm just going to go and stop and see Vince on the way there.
Of course you will.
He lives in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'll go there and we'll probably write for a week, see what happens, and then do the same thing on the way back.
How does that writing process work with the two of you?
Well, what happens, Vince has got kind of a bank of synths in his basement, in his house, and they're all attached to the wall, so it's kind of surrounded, you know, the whole place. And then he's got his mixing desk in the middle, and he's probably working on some kind of rhythm sections and chord progressions and stuff like that. And then literally when I get there, I just pick up the mic and start singing Toasting kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Just trying to make up some melodies and stuff, you know, and we'll just do that, really, keep doing that. And it takes a few days to kind of warm up and get back used to being with each other again.
Well, I have to say, you are rather successful at it, aren't you, really? And 25 million album sales and plus, just brilliant.
We do like it, we love it. So, you know, it's very fortunate. It's a lovely way to make a living, you know.
Absolutely. I think I interviewed Vince back in 1979 in Basildon. There you go. That's how long ago that was. Now, Torsten, tell me all about Torsten. This is what's the origins of Torsten? Where does he come from?
He was born in 1905, and I think he was born in Norway.
Right.
And you don't really know very much about his parents or anything. Like maybe he was a stowaway on a boat or something. Maybe they didn't want him and let him go. But he ended up in. Where did he end up? I can't remember. I have to look it up again now. It would be a seaside place somewhere. And he's got this condition where nobody knows. He was born in 1905 and he doesn't age. He's kind of a bit,
it's a bit like
the story, a picture of Dorian Gray, you know?
Yeah.
So he doesn't age. And so he's seen, now he's 112 years old, but he looks probably about, probably his mid-40s or something. So it's kind of, he's starting to feel inside his age because it's kind of, you know, having that amount of lovers. He's polysexual, so he goes with men and women and anyone in between, you know. And what's the other word? Polysexual? Semi-immortal, that's it.
Semi-immortal.
So it's kind of a curse, you know. So this is his story, really.
And this is
we've done three episodes so far. This is the third episode.
Yeah, this is in Queerateria.
Queerateria.
So does the listener need to have listened to the first two albums first, or it's
not
a separate
not
journey?
At all. No, I mean it's lovely to kind of hear the songs, hear the style, but you don't have to hear the other two at all, because it's quite a surreal story. I mean, in the new episode, there are three characters extra. There's Daniel, one of his former lovers, who's the youngest. Rupert, who's a kind of an old soak. He's 74 years old. And then there's Lady Demina Bazaar, she's kind of the evil witch in the show. She's being played by this lovely guy called Matthew, whose alter ego is called Nanny Fanny.
Okay. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so it's in a post-Armageddon type setting, and we're in a TV studio trying to make programs for the masses.
I see. Now you're forgive me if I got this wrong, but you're performing this live as well at the Stag Theatre upstairs at the Stag Theatre. Is that right?
Actually, the Stag Theatre, like, it used to be upstairs in a pub, and then it moved to a railway arch in Vauxhall,
right?
And now it's in a lovely, beautiful new double railway arch. So they have been doing very well.
Okay, now then, you've appeared in front of thousands in huge stadia, and you've appeared, you know, with the front row being feet away. Yeah. How what's the difference for you? What's easier for you?
Definitely doing shows is easier. I like smaller shows. I prefer theatre audience size type shows, but this theatre is kind of, they're really close and it's very intimate, so I think it's about 80 people or something,
right?
Like,
so
that.
You can literally see the whites of their eyes,
or 100, so it's kind of it is quite terrorizing. I'm kept in a bell jar for the beginning of the show, because I've been cryogenically frozen.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. I know when you started this project 3 or 4 years ago that you were quite nervous about doing this. Have you overcome your nerves now, and you're fairly confident with the character?
I'm peeing myself.
Well, as you should be. You should be. If you're not nervous, it's not...
I've got only this weekend to learn my lines. So
You'll be fine.
I kind of tape them into my phone, so I'm just going to keep playing them over and over and over.
You'll be absolutely fine, and I know you're going to enjoy the experience, because it is a wonderful experience when you've got an audience, when you can see the audience so close. I know it can be daunting, but
we went to a preview last night, a new opening last night called Romance Romance.
Okay,
it was so good. They were so professional, the people, and they're younger. You know, they're much younger, so they learn more quickly, and they can dance. And,
yeah.
You know, there's just so much talent out there.
There is. I saw Avenue Q the other night, and I was just blown away by that.
God.
That was wonderful. That was wonderful.
Oh, geez, I just burnt my pancake.
Oh, you've done what?
It's all right. I just burnt my pancake.
You've burnt your pancake?
I forgot it was on the stove.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I quite like burnt taste.
Oh, don't set the place on fire when you're talking to me. tell me about a little bit about the music, and how does the music for Torsten and Quiteria happen? Where's it come from?
Where it comes from is Barney Ashton. He's a poet. He was one of Britain's kind of main playwrights as a youth, and then he writes poetry and plays. That's his day job, is being an archivist and doing reissues for Cherry Red Records.
Mm-hmm.
So he does all those kind of like 30-year-old albums and stuff, and brings them back out and up to date, you know, with all the liner notes. So he writes. He's had the character of Torsten for years and years, and he asked me if I was interested in playing it, probably about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And so he writes all this prose, and then his music partner is called Christopher Frost. He's a saxophone player and a keyboardist, and he teaches music in near. It's some horse racing course, Epsom.
Epsom.
Yeah. Yeah, so we go up there. So we go up there to his studio, and literally Barney makes the tune off the top of his head, but Christopher kind of has to work out which chords go underneath. So it's not that too dissimilar from having to myself.
Oh, I see.
Work.
Yeah. Okay, so the show runs from the 10th of April to the 28th of April. I'm not so the Stag Theatre is. Did you say it's Vauxhall? Didn't you?
Yeah, if you go by tube, you go across the road from the bus station and turn left.
Busy time in the theatre for you now. Do you still enjoy the tours? Are you a guy who secretly wishes that, you know, could be at home and put your slippers up on occasionally?
No, I do love it, really. I mean, I'm kind of one. I get itchy feet, you know, because I had a lovely Christmas. I went with my partner, and I was a couch potato, you know.
Yeah.
He just said, "Well, you deserve it, you know. You've had all these hundreds of shows this year."
Exactly.
So, but then after a while, if I was at home for a month, I was thinking, I wonder if they want. I wonder if they'd like to. If I could DJ up the pub up the road or something.
You
it, just, it doesn't end, really. It's just that tingling feeling that you get from the audio stuff. Yeah,
it's widely reported that 30-odd years ago you picked up the phone and answered a Melody Maker ad. Is that true?
It's true. Yeah,
absolutely true. Which brings me on my second question, really, is that Melody Maker and New Musical Express don't really exist anymore. You know, what are the musicians of today? How would that happen today? And what do you think of today's music?
Well, I suppose you would go online to do it.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
And then also, I mean, apart from, you know, you do have some really good, strong songwriters, individual ones, you know, and you have kind of songwriting partners, but I think for the most part, like in the US, for instance, most tracks are written by at least 10 people. So they have these, it's almost like, you know, program makers or movie script writers or something, you know, and they all sit together and come up with all these ideas. So it's literally line by line, which is more like, excuse me, Vince used to get accused of writing songs by numbers because of using synthesizers, which just isn't true at all.
No, I'm sure it isn't.
Now it's true of songwriters, because they really just write one line each. You know? I mean, God knows how they make any money out of it. It's from the touring and
being played
a billion times around the planet. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, my next question really is a difficult one, really. How different is the Andy Bell today from the 1985 version? Apart from older.
I think older and wiser, really. I just, you know, the young one kind of didn't care, really. He's sort of like, I think it was the Madonna syndrome, you know.
Yeah.
He kind of like, he sort of wanted, he would do anything to kind of get famous and stuff, and you realise that's not a very nice person as you get older. You know, I think I've been pretty decent to people, but, you know, when you have kind of sometimes guilt complexes about things that you've done, that kind of
thing, I think. We've all maybe done things we've regretted maybe in our past, but as we've got older and wiser, et cetera. But you sound like you're a man who's very happy where he is at the moment, and you're really enjoying what you're doing.
I'm loving it. I'm really, really loving it, and I'm so happy that I met my Stephen and, you know, had a second chance in life to love again. That's really amazing. You know, it's I know there's a lot going on in the world, so we just kind of like cling on to each other.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. That's what it's all about. The album is out on the 12th of April. It's called Torsten in Quirateria. I'm glad I got that right. And of course, then you're on stage at the Stag Theatre, and that is running from, I've lost my bit of paper now. The 10th. Is it the 10th?
The 10th.
Yeah, 10th of April through to the 28th. Now, I suggest you put the phone down to me and go and learn some lines, because you're filling me with confidence here.
You just keep putting it off. No, you can't, you know.
I also find...
I'm going to go and cook another proper pancake.
Exactly. Get back to you, but don't burn another one. I'm going to finish, Andy. Thank you so much for coming onto the show today. I really, really appreciate it. I'm going to play a track from We Haven't Slept for 20 Years.
What was that Erasure track you played?
Boy.
Boy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
that,
Boy.
That sounded great. That sounded really good.
Yeah, but okay, well, it was really good.
Thank you very much.
Andy, thank you so much for talking to us, and good luck with everything, and go and learn some lines.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. He's gone. Yeah, there you go. This is Andy Bell.